Pray for us. Father, we thank you that we can be gathered freely outdoors and not have to be concerned, well, about anything about the wind. That this is our greatest concern, gathering in such a public space, Lord, and we thank you for your mercy that allows that for us. And so, Lord, as we bring this word before you, Lord, I pray that it will be your word that I share, your word that is preached, because your word brings transformation, shows us Jesus. Holy Spirit is empowered by you, is inspired by you. We thank you that we can come and hear what you have to say to us. I pray that your words would remain and mine would fail. I pray that in the name above all names, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Put a little less shady in the worship. Good word there for somebody. So it's this time of year. I think we all know this time of year is a time where the world sort of comes a little bit to a stop, and it's actually great for us. I know Jesus wasn't born now, okay, but we have a moment where the world is thinking about the fact that he was born, and so we have an opportunity as believers to actually partner with that, to actually say, okay, here in this moment, let's talk about what this means. So I'm sharing this morning. I'm sharing just one verse. I told Andre, yeah, we're going to be quick with the worship, and I've only got one verse I'm going to preach on. And then he and Jess said, no, but I've heard you preach on one verse. But let's go by faith. Okay, we're going to be in the Gospel of John, because this time of year is like I said, is a moment for us to consider, what does it mean? What does it mean that Christ came? And so John 1, amazing chapter, and I want to be looking just at verse 14 this morning. We'll cover a little bit around that. John 1, verse 14. I'm going to read it for us first. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What a profound statement. What a profound statement that John here makes. And we're going to unpack this just a little bit this morning, because this is something that I believe in the season that we're going into, the next month and a half, there is something in this verse that we need to hold on to. We need to come back to over and over again, especially this time of year. But let's start with, why is this such a shocking statement? Actually, when John writes this, he's writing in the context of there's a worldview that says everything that is flesh is evil, right? And then there's another worldview that says we are only physical. And so he starts this verse and he says, he's just unpacked in the previous verses that Jesus is the Word. The Word is God. The Word was with God. And then he comes and he says, this Word that was with God in the beginning, that through whom everything was made, this Word, eternally God, became. He became flesh. Remaining what he was, he became what he was not. Remaining the Word, eternal. The full Son of God, he remains and he becomes. Becomes flesh. And that statement on its own is shocking. Because we know what we are like in these bodies. And so then we get John. He says he doesn't just stop there. He goes, and the Word became flesh and does something. The Word does not come, become a man, and sit in a cave. You notice that? Also, he does not become a man and sit in a palace. Where does the Word go? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John is saying he dwelt among us. He came to the lowest, to the least, to the poor, to the outcast. He comes to us. Dwells among us. That word dwelt is this idea of tabernacle. So it would be nice if we had a tent here. Would have been my best prop for the year. So that's the idea. He dwelt amongst, he put up a tent among us. It throws back to Exodus, it throws back to God coming to dwell among the tribes as they are going through the wilderness. He pitches his tent among us. And this is what we see John saying, I'm on this speaker only. I'm only on this one. He says, this is the one. He came and made his home among us. Now, I was playing Uno yesterday with my kids. When you need to be convinced of the sinfulness of man, you play Uno with your family. There is something that happens in the eye of a child when he picks up a +4 card. But Christ comes to dwell among us. He comes to us. We play Uno, it's just the word for one. We play for the one, right? For ourselves. And Christ comes to these people who are busy playing for themselves only. Picks up the +4 and takes the 4 card. Because that is who the Son is. It's a simple example, but this time of year you're going to have an opportunity to have a real experience of that. And so we see here, he dwelt among us. And then John does not just leave us there, he goes even, he's shocking us with this verse. Hear this again. He says, no, so the Son dwelt among us, the Word that became flesh dwelt among us. And then he says, and we have seen his glory. Remember what Moses prayed? He prayed in Exodus, he said, Lord, show me your glory. The Lord said, I will make my name pass before you. Show me your glory. John says, we have not heard, we have seen. We have seen his glory. And then he goes and he says, glory as of the only Son from the Father. That word, only Son, in the King James is translated, the only begotten of the Father. It's this idea, this concept, that Jesus is the representation of the Father perfectly. The Word who became flesh, remaining what he was, became what he was not, to show us truly who the Father is. The Old Testament gives us the shadow of things to come. It points to Christ. But in this moment when Christ comes, and he makes his claim himself, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The only Son from the Father. Author of Hebrews, in Hebrews 1, he says he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. We do not have to doubt. What would it be like if God became man? We do not have to doubt. We've seen. It is recorded. When God became man, we can see the glory that was revealed. We do not have to question, what would he be like? Would he be up in the cave pointing fingers down at us down below? Or would he be drawn to those on the ground? Would he come to those on the floor? How low would he go? He is drawn to those who are the least. He came and dwelt among us. And he is the exact imprint of the Father's nature. And he goes further. He says, we have seen his glory. And he says, what is this glory? He says, what is this glory? The glory as of the only Son from the Father. This is his glory, full of grace and truth. When we read the Gospels, we see what this means. Full of grace and truth. Overflowing. When we see who is God, when he becomes man, we see grace and truth. It's actually a throwback to the moment when Moses says, show me your glory. Because the Greek translation of the Old Testament talks about grace and truth. And he throws back here, he's saying, it's God's name. Jesus came to reveal God's name. In John, at the end of the priestly prayer, Jesus himself says, he says, I made known to them your name. And I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The name. What is the name in Exodus 34? I've got it here. He says, when Moses said, show me your glory, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love and faithfulness is what's translated as grace and truth. Faithfulness. Steadfast love. This is his heart, his nature. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation, grace and truth. Those who are in Christ, grace. You see also in the Gospels those who refuse to be in Christ. He is the true man. And those who are not in him are not in alignment with the truth. And so what is the message here this morning? When we read, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, this is the reason why we can have confidence. Because if it was not the Word who became flesh, if it was just a good man living a good life, then we couldn't live. Well, how does that pay for us? But if it's the Word, if it's the eternal Son, and in the moment of the cross, the wrath of God is poured out, and the Son receives it. Eternal payment. The wrath of God satisfied. Because he's the Word. He is God. He cancels the wrath for those who are fully paid. Because he's the Word. And he endured it. And that's who we are in. That is who is resurrected. And that is the message for us this morning. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in our space. He did not come when things were going well. And when it was dark, the light came. And we have seen his glory. And what is the message for us is, come again in this holiday. Come to Jesus. Receive the one who is full of grace and truth. There we are not true. Because this is what happens in this time of the year. You may have some different family members. Your environment sort of changes a bit. It shuffles things. And suddenly you realize, I am not faithful in this area. I am not true. And then we come to the one who is true. We receive him. Grace. It's not a substance. It's a person. He has a name. What we need in the season to give glory to God is the grace of God. We are called to live for the glory of God as believers. This is our reason for being here. That grace and truth may be displayed. Grace is a person. And this morning, we're just taking an opportunity again, a time again, to reflect on what it means that he became one of us. He has remained a man, and he is interceding in heaven that you would appropriate that which he has done. And there where you are not truthful, he is the advocate that points to what he has done. And the invitation is simply this: once again, come back to grace, come back to him. He desires to dwell among us. He desires to be in our homes. He desires to be in our families, in our extended families. He desires, he has been interceding for that. And you are the instrument of his glory here. You are the instrument through which he wants to impart grace and truth to your life. Steadfast love and faithfulness to your life. To those around you. That his name may be glorified. Colossians 1, we read, to the saints, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Will you stand with me? This morning is a moment where we reflect on the fact that in the season, the world is prime. The people we encounter are primed to be reminded. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He did not just dwell among us. He walked the road that we were not able to walk. He lived a life we were not able to live. And He took a cross, the cross that we deserve. And on this cross, He made a transaction. He made an exchange. It says, for those who look on me, who believe in me, I impart my record. Grace is getting what we do not deserve. We deserve justice, getting what we deserve. He comes in mercy to not give us what we deserve, by grace to give us what we do not deserve, to give us Himself. We do not have to go up the mountain. He came down from the mountain to us. And this is what we respond to this morning, is to say, I come again and depend wholly on what Jesus has done for my family, for myself, for the season, for my encounter with the world around me, for the people who come to our town. I depend wholly on what Jesus has done. So as we take communion this morning, before we take it, I want you to take a moment and just respond again. Respond again to the fact that it's His record that He makes available to us. And so what we do is we know what the truth is. We know what we have done. And so we respond, we say, Lord, I come again and put my faith wholly, absolutely only in what You have already done. And so, Lord, as we come in this moment, as we just consider again Your body, we know that it was a body like ours that lived a life not like ours. That was broken like ours has not been broken in our place. But we come again this morning, we remember that that body has been resurrected. It is a resurrected body, never to taste death again. And what You invite us into is to be a part of Your body, to be Your hands and Your feet. And where we hurt is Your arms and Your legs. You come to be our healer. Come to make straight again, because You care for Your body and we are Your body. So we eat together to remind ourselves of what You have done. And Lord, as we come and take a moment to consider what it costs to make that exchange. And that blood that was poured out on that cross to seal this new covenant is still alive, still speaking a better word. And we can come and we can say that that blood has paid, has covered. And as we drink the wine in remembrance of what You have done and of the exchange You have made and Your faithfulness, Your grace to uphold that covenant that we are in. We pray, Lord Jesus, that You receive all the glory and strength. And as we come, Lord, and we want to celebrate what You have done this year, take note of what grace has done, overflowing in our lives, who You are, Jesus. We celebrate every victory, and we celebrate every life. I pray that in this season as we go, Lord, that we would be in Your hands, instruments for Your glory. so that grace and truth can go to the world around us. Steadfast love and faithfulness will be the experience in our homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you.